With us now is Diane Mushabin, who's a licensed professional clinical counselor at Catholic Charities for the Diocese of Covington. Diane, it's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Jack, it's a pleasure for me to be able to share about our work.
You know, it's important. You do very, very important work across the river, as we do here. And, you know, we're living in a world where there's all kinds of, we're probably one of the most heavily medicated cultures in history, whether it's depression or addiction or bipolar, whatever it is. But we see a lot of effects with opioid addictions and these kind of things. And those are more symptoms that kind of lead, you know, hopefully can lead us back to getting to the roots. And these roots have to do with mental health issues.
Sure, sure. And, you know, there are many causes of mental health issues, as you mentioned. And some of these mental health problems are actually very biologically based. So, you know, we may be familiar with things such as bipolar disorder or schizophrenia. And those are conditions where medication is a really critical part of treatment. But then there are other mental health issues that are more widespread, and those are the things that you mentioned, the depression and the anxiety. And these are very challenging, and we see a lot of it, and probably in lots of ways our modern lifestyles and culture have a lot to do with that.
It is rather ironic. We have more time for recreation. We have more wealth. We have more prosperity in many cases. But that has not made us a more easygoing people in any sense of the word.
That's for sure. That's for sure. I think especially, too, you know, we put so many expectations on ourselves instead of perhaps thinking of a healthy balance and what is a reasonable amount of whatever that we can pursue. You know, you think about what our young people go through. I mean, this recent college admissions cheating scandal just kind of highlights the immense pressure that's on young people to make it into certain universities, to have the perfect grade point, the perfect extracurriculars, all yada, yada. And this is just in one segment of our world. Our young people's mental health is actually becoming worse. The statistics most recently show that there's an uptick again in depression for youth in this country.
Well, youth aren't allowed to be kids anymore. I mean, they're constantly training. They're constantly learning. The parents have very, very high expectations for them. As the old saying goes, you just can't let them go sit in the front yard and play with a stick anymore. You got to have them analyzing or on the computer or learning another language. Kids just can't be kids anymore. And I don't understand the impetus on parts of adults not to see that.
Right. In many ways, there's a pressure for children to be sort of productive and achievement-oriented, even in the sports arena. You know, we have so many opportunities for good, healthy recreation and sports, but how many people do you know who have kids who are being, you know, encouraged to join the elite sports leagues at very young ages? And not that it's bad to develop those God-given gifts, of course, it's wonderful, but we have to have a healthy balance in everything. If we don't sort of slow down and think about, well, where is the priority here? Where is my family putting its emphasis? Where am I as an individual putting my time and energies? If we don't take a little time apart to actually reflect on that, I think we can easily get caught up in that treadmill of life.
Well, especially with teenagers, because, you know, this is we're getting into a rough time of year for teenagers. First of all, there's college acceptance things. But there's also just the stress of failure. Teenagers aren't being taught today, really young people, aren't being taught to deal with failure. And so we see a rise in suicide. And I know this time of year with proms coming and dances coming, it becomes very anxiety-ridden, more for young girls than boys. There's many times when I was a chaplain having to deal with young women who attempted suicide, either because of things their girlfriends did or being rejected by a boyfriend or not living up to whatever they thought would happen at this prom. I mean, this is a time, it should be a very joyful time, but in the flip side, we don't often see the dark side.
And I would say to your observation, too, I mean, it's seen sometimes that girls may act out in one way and boys act out in a different way. You know, it's hard to generalize, I guess I would say, but we have to be attentive in all ways to what messages we're giving to the young people, what expectations that we have. And we have to keep them kind of grounded and centered in their families a bit more it's really easy for parents and their busyness to just say, hey, my kids are, you know, having a great time with their friends. They're off doing what teenagers do. They're being teenagers. I get it that they want their time with their friends more than their parents. But it's really important for everyone's mental health that those kids are still very much a part of family life and that they're helped to develop realistic expectations for themselves. You know, it's not just the kids, it's the parents oftentimes who are trying to do too much. And then when stress levels in a person's life get high, they become vulnerable to depression or to panic attacks or to trying to medicate with alcohol or other substances. So things can spiral out of control pretty quickly.
And, you know, oftentimes for those who have jobs, health insurance used to cover seeing a psychologist or seeing a psychiatrist. Some of that's been taken away, and some simply don't have the means, even though they need the help. Is this where Catholic Charities can kind of step in?
Absolutely. So we provide therapy by master's level licensed therapists, and we integrate, of course, our faith wisdom about the human person with the best practices in mental health treatment. So we specialize in treating all kinds of conditions, and we do so in an environment that is respectful of our faith, looks at the whole person spiritually, emotionally, mentally. And we do accept most insurance plans. We also have a sliding scale for those folks who are not covered by an insurance plan. So we try very hard to make sure that our services are available. One of the other stats is that in Northern Kentucky, or actually in Kentucky as a state, we do have a higher prevalence of mental health disorders than the national average, and we do have lower rates of access to mental health treatment. So it's an important part of our ministry to be sure that we can provide that access.
How many patients do you think go through Catholic Charities for help with mental issues right now?
I'd say our typical stats are around 400 to 450 clients in the outpatient group, and I'm not sure the stats with our school counseling program, but we do serve a fairly good number of people.
Now, do you have enough counselors to do this? I know some people, they don't quite understand in some cases with mental health, and I don't know how it is, you can explain it to me for Covington, but sometimes you have licensed social workers that are doing some of the counseling, and sometimes you have trained psychologists to do it. Do you have both working, or do the social workers do other things?
We have the licensed clinical counselors, and some people are working towards licensure in social work. They're fairly equivalent at the master's level, and our staff are either all independently licensed at that level, which is the highest level, or they are very close to it. They're working towards it, and they're very close to it. We don't currently have any psychologists. We do a lot of collaboration with the client's prescribers, if that would be a psychiatrist or a family practice doctor. We collaborate with them as needed to, you know, help them make determinations about how the patients are responding to the medications they might be prescribing.
Yeah, that was the very next question I was going to ask. If you don't have psychiatrists or MDs, then, or certified nurse clinicians, and really you can't do prescriptions. So I was going to ask if it's determined that the person needs the medicine, they would have to go to their primary care physician, I guess, huh?
Right. That's in general for most conditions, people are going to be seen by their primary care physician. And we also can give them referrals and help them make connections to psychiatrists in cases where we think that they might need that more specialized care.
Now, you know, when people usually go and visit a counselor, is there usually a number of times that they do visits, or is it in terms of, is there a limit, or do they tend to do much broader?
We don't set any arbitrary limits at all on the number of sessions, but I will say that with the modern techniques and therapies that we're skilled in, we see that therapy is not the long-term process that people might initially think it is, especially from years ago when it was more common to do more psychoanalytic-type therapy. We don't really use that kind of technique anymore. We have tremendously helpful evidence-based approaches to choose from, and it's all tailored to the needs of the client. So pretty much we see that on average, most clients are going to see significant benefits in anywhere from 3 to 6 sessions. That's not to say that we'll be done with our work or that we set a limit on it, but in general, you should expect that with the sort of work that we do, you're going to see improvements in a very short amount of time.
So you're really talking about your counselors are much more versed in what we would say cognitive therapy, behavioral therapy, reality therapy, in which they really focus on a goal and you try to help them achieve that goal.
Exactly. Well, and of course, we do that in the context of this ministry. So, you know, we are able to use those wonderful techniques and approaches while integrating it with our understanding of the human person.
And it's important, as you say, that it's done within the Catholic tradition, that there are certain things that we would see and the counselor would then react to in a proper way for issues that are coming up.
Mm-hmm. Sure. You know, here at the agency, we have certain key values that guide the work that we do. And one of my key, the one that I really identify with very strongly is that it's the value to strive to live the teachings of Jesus by bringing the Beatitudes to life in all 14 counties of the diocese. And I think everybody who does work here sees it as a ministry. So it's grounded in our commitment to honoring the whole person, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically.
Well, I think, Diane, that's a very healthy view. Now, if someone wants to contact Catholic Charities to schedule a consultation, where can they go?
Sure. Probably the best way is to try us by phone, and that's our number is 859-581-8974. And they can speak to our client care staff, who will get them all set up for services, explain how we handle fees. And then people can also go to our website, which is covingtoncharities.org, where they can find out more about our various services and programs there.
Well, Diane, thank you very much for your information and your very solid work there. God bless you.
Oh, thank you very much.